Matthew chapter 6, I want to read here the Lord's model prayer, and in connection with our study on Timothy, of which I've referenced verse 13 a couple of times, I want to just give some devotional thoughts about our praying of that and the implications of what that means for us. So Jesus gives to us how to pray. We're not to pray hypocritically. We are to pray in secret. That's what that means. We're not to pray to be seen of others. It doesn't mean we can't pray publicly, but that's not why we pray. We don't use flowery words to try to impress people that are listening to us. We go to our Father in our closet, as it were. And when our Father sees that we don't pray hypocritically, and we don't pray to be seen of men, He will what? He will reward us. And so He says in verse 9, so pray then in this way. And what He's doing, again, He's given us an example. He's given us a model, as it were, categories of praying. We certainly can pray this by reading it out loud. There's nothing wrong with that if that's your heart. But I don't think that our Lord necessarily wanted it to be just be root memory. He wants us to really engage in it. And so He says, pray this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive others, then Your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And of course, verses 14 and 15 is really some explanation on the model prayer request in verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our who? Our debtors. And of course, later on, He does talk about that if we do not forgive others, the Lord will actually send what He calls the tormentors to teach us to do that. And so as a church body, we should be walking with one another, forgiving one another, as Ephesians says, tender-hearted, right? Forgiving one another. Why?
We've been forgiven.
For Christ has forgiven who? Forgiven you. And so probably in that context, He's talking about the Jew and Gentile being in the same body, but it still is applicable in many, many other areas of our life. Now we want to look at verse 13 when it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we've been seeing in the book of 2 Peter that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly from what? From temptation. And we may mention with Noah, we may mention with Lot, that we, of all people, ought to pray, Lord, do not lead us into temptation. And so this passage here does give us some instruction with that. You'll notice, first of all, that Jesus gives to us as a model to pray, as it were, our Father, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, there's two underlying thoughts here. And the first one is this, that if we are praying for the Lord not to lead us into temptation, then we are praying the opposite. You're not saying the opposite, but you are praying the opposite, right? Lord, don't deliver me, don't lead me into temptation. Well, that is a prayer for the Lord to lead you how? Well, you could word it this way, not into temptation. You could word it this way, into what is good, right? and what is full of spiritual vitality, instead of having to be brought into a place where we could fall because of evil, right? Deliver us from evil. And so when we pray, Lord, do not lead us into temptation, whether we're praying that for ourselves individually or whether we're praying that for our church corporately. And I do pray both at times, okay? That the Lord lead us and guide us and don't lead us to a place where we're liable to fall. What I'm really asking is for God's goodness to be upon us, right? And for His prosperity to be upon our lives. Secondly, I think we need to understand that when we're praying, "Our Father, do not lead us into temptation," that we're actually praying to avoid something that hasn't happened. Now think about that. You wouldn't say, "Now, Lord, don't lead me into temptation," if it's already what? If it's already happened. That's a different prayer, right? Okay? But what you're doing is you are acknowledging that there is a propensity in your heart and in my heart to fall. And so, Lord, don't put me into this arena of temptation. And again, you're praying that before it happens, you are concerned about this. And how often can it happen in our life? It could happen any day, right? And it's going to happen probably more than once in your Christian pilgrimage. And so we're praying, "Lord, don't lead us into temptation." What's understood? We're asking the Lord to lead us into that which is good and full of spiritual vitality and life for ourselves. Secondly, we're seeking to avoid what hasn't happened. We're watching out for those snares. Now, I do think that we need to remind ourselves, it says, "Father, do not lead us into temptation." So I want to put some footnotes around that point. Number one, temptation to evil does not come from God. Okay? And you can hold your Bible here, but I'll read it over in James chapter 1. James talks about this. And he says in that epistle, in verse 13, he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' Why? For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone." Everybody hear that? Okay? So what we know is this: Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Well, He's not going to lead you into a temptation that will put you in a place where you do evil. God does not do that, right? Well, what does He do? What is this temptation? Well, temptation to evil does not come from God. However, can the Lord tempt us? Or, let me use another word, test us. Can He do that? He can do that. And of course, in the same book, in James, James actually brings that to the forefront at the beginning of that epistle. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or testing, knowing that the testing of what? Your faith produces endurance." Okay, so let's just back up. We're putting some footnotes around this. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. God is not going to lead you to a place where you do evil, where that is your only recourse. But can God test you? Yes. What is He testing? Your faith. Everybody see that? Okay? And He's testing us, the trial of our faith, He's testing us to show us the sincerity and the improvement of our faith. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, may be found, right? 1 Peter chapter 1. And so temptation to evil does not come from God. Everybody there? Everybody understand that? Okay. However, God can tempt us. He can test us. What I mean by that, he can test your faith. And it can be fiery, can't it? Okay. Now, here's what I think many Christians don't understand about temptation or testing. Many times, the same event can have the same type of testing. In other words, Satan can use the same event to tempt you to do evil, while God is using the same event to test your faith. Everybody see that? You can probably think of many examples. Think of Job. Was his faith tested? Did it not prove in many cases gold? He loses all of his economic and wealth and prosperity. He says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the... You and I would say, wow! Right? But how was Satan designing to use that event? Do you remember? He said, if you do that, Job will deny you. Okay, the same event, temptation, testing, can be used by the evil one, and he wants you to do evil, and is used by God for what? For good. Everybody see that? Okay. And I think once we think about that and give some meditation to it, I think we find that true in our life also. Okay. So, think about this event. Think about Peter. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. Satan wanted Peter to permanently collapse. Collapse his what? His faith. But the Lord says, I prayed for you that your what? Faith will not fail. Satan's wanting Peter's faith to permanently collapse, to fail. The Lord, thanks be to him, intercedes for Peter for his faith not to fail. He did fall, did he not? Did he fall permanently? No. No, he wept in repentance. The Lord himself appeared to him and restored him. Amen? So everybody say, I just give two examples there. Okay. Now let me give you a third example. And we see it readily. We're here in Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. And look at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? By the devil. Okay. You believe that statement, do you not? Okay, so let's analyze it here. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Help me out here. By who? He was not led by the devil. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody see that? Okay. The devil did not lead him. Okay. The Holy Spirit led him. So who's leading him into temptation? The Holy Spirit. The Lord, right? All right. Now let me ask you this. Do you think God the Father allowed the Holy Spirit to lead his only begotten Son into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil because it was God's design for him to fall? That doesn't even enter into the mind of God, right? He can't be tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt any any man. Jesus was a man, was he not? Fully God, fully man. So everybody see what I'm saying? Okay. He did not lead the Lord into the wilderness to say, I think I want him to fall. All right. But what was Satan's design? To have him what? Have him fall. Now, as you recall Jesus' event, his circumstances in the wilderness, do you not walk away as a believer stunned by how our Lord responded in that? In other words, let me ask you this. How was his faith? Weak or strong? Did it radiate from him? How did he respond to the evil? By quoting that he believed. In other words, it's not quoting the scripture like it's some rabbit's foot. You know, if I just quote the scripture, the devil flees. No, no. You got to believe that text with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. Did Jesus believe that way? He did. And it glorified God. So did the Lord lead him into the wilderness? Yes. Was he tempted? Yes. God tested him to show the genuineness of who he is. But Satan's purposes was the exact what? The exact opposite. Everybody see that? And so you walk away. And if you're reading the scriptures rightly, for first thing you walk away is, wow, this man is not like any other man. This man's exactly who the text says. He is the Son of God. Amen? What a blessing that is. Then, once you see that, then you can say, okay, he's the Son of God and I'm in him. And this is how I need to fight evil, okay? But the first thing you got to see is the glory of him. And seeing the glory of him, you will know yourself on how to do that. And what made it even more impressive was the fact that he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. In other words, he was at his weakest, right, physically. But remember what we said as we were going through our prayer request? When we are weak, He is strong. And so you see the strength of the Lord in all this. And you see the wisdom of the Lord in all this. And you see His utmost faithfulness in the midst of all this. Do you not? And you walk away with a glorious heart as you see that. Amen? So let's go back to Matthew 6. So we've looked at praying, do not lead us into temptation. Then we have this phrase, but deliver us from evil. And I just want to have two little simple statements for our remembrance. Folks, Satan does desire your fall. He does desire your fall. Peter writes that Satan prowls, seeking whom he may devour. That is, believing people. He prowls, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Is that serious? Do you and I recognize that we are very susceptible to that? Now, Satan hates you because he hates Christ and you are his. He doesn't hate you for your sake. He hates you because he hates God and he hates his Christ. He hates the church. You agree with that? Not because the church is so great. We're not so great. But he hates the church because we are members of his body. And of course, you know Satan's ultimate thing was to overthrow the throne of God. And Satan is sly. Even a man will use bait to get his victim. And man can be very patient with that bait, can he? I was watching a National Geographic last night of some people in Alaska, and they were bragging how they like to live off the land and all this kind of stuff. So I was kind of watching, you know, some of the things they were doing. And this couple had made this, I call it, it's a tree house, but it's not a tree house. It didn't have a cover on it, but it was a tree platform and it had camouflage around it. And they were sitting up with their binoculars and this huge gun. And they were waiting for a bear. And he said, I can see it. I don't know how far away it was, but I can see the tree moving. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Just wait. That's the way Satan can be. Now, to get the end of the story, they didn't get the bear. So if you're rooting for the bear, he won that day. Okay? But in any case, the bear came closer and closer and closer, and all of a sudden the bear decided he didn't want to go out and get a drink of water and couldn't get the shot. Okay. But were they waiting? Were they watching? Did they have a post? That's the way Satan is. And folks, you and I need to realize that. And we need to pray, deliver us from what?
Evil.
Because, brethren, God sees all. You don't see all. He sees all. The second point, and I conclude with this. We pray, deliver us from evil, because you can't deliver yourself from evil. Right? I mean, if you could deliver yourself from evil, then why pray that? Right? But you're praying to the Lord because it's only Him who can deliver you from evil. Not your self-will, not your discipline, not your knowledge, not your study, not your research. You can't deliver yourself. Could you save yourself?
No.
And you can't keep saving yourself. He does it. And He has means by which He does that. Folks, we're praying this because we can't deliver ourselves. It would have been a good thing if Peter, when our Lord told him that Satan desired to sift him, it would have been a good thing if Peter fell on his knees and said, Lord, please deliver me. Instead of arguing and saying, I'll never fall. So brethren, do we need to pray, our Father, do not lead us into temptation? The answer to that is yes. We don't want to be led into a situation where we are susceptible by our own flesh to do evil. And we do want to be led into an arena where God shows us good and spiritual vitality. And we need to pray, deliver us from evil, because we have an enemy who's always seeking evil against us. And the Lord Himself is the only one, the all-knowing one, the all-seeing one, that can deliver us on our pilgrim journey. And brethren, the older I get, the more mature I get in the Lord, the more I recognize this. If I make it in the faith to my death, it will be all of Him. It will be all of Him. Right? All of Him. And I will glorify Him for that grace forever and ever. So let's lift our hearts up to